Christmas Meditations. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2007.
Faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels, O come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Greet thee, born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in the appearing. Come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
Well, it's Christmas Eve, and we know what that means. Many of you have already experienced the early frustrations of Christmas. Because you met with family. You had a meal. Some of you even started opening presents, and you had that first wave of disappointment. It was the wrong size. It was the wrong color. I just didn't get the response that I was expecting to get out of that one. Well, tonight we want to encourage you to come away from all that, to pull aside, to stop and to reflect on the joy of the season and the reason why we gather. And I really don't have to go over that again because we're already very familiar with that. As I said yesterday, you all know the story as well as I do, and you could stand up here and tell the details, and I think that's part of the problem. We are familiar with the story. We're very, very familiar with the story. So I've been in church literally all my life. 9 months before I was born, I started attending a Baptist church. And I've never been where I wasn't attending a Baptist church. That's been a part of my life from my earliest days. So I cannot think of any time in my whole life that I hadn't heard that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. I can never remember a time in my entire life where I didn't know that Jesus died for us and that He was the unique Son of God and He came in a unique way and that Christmas really is the celebration of His life. I've known that all my life. I accepted it all my life. I accepted it without questioning. It was truth, and I never questioned that, even before I savingly believed in that truth. It's always been a part of my life. It's a very comfortable truth. It's a truth I wear easily because it's a truth I've worn all my life. And I think that's part of the problem. Because familiarity does breed contempt. Oh, I don't mean that you or me or anybody else that's a child of God really looks at the gospel or looks at the story of Jesus with real contempt or anger. in some respects, it's worse than that. Because we look at the story with that familiar, yeah, I know that. It's kind of a ho-hum. Because we know it so well. Because we've heard it all our life. And we got those images in our mind. And anytime we think of the Christmas story, we look at those images. Because we've seen it in church programs and we've watched the kids portray it. We have this scene of the stable and the birth of Jesus as a very antiseptic kind of place. With cute barnyard animals. Disney-like barnyard animals. We see it as a place that's really kind of clean. And there's beautiful lighting. And it's just kind of a soft glow. And we see it and we say, oh. And sometimes we forget it wasn't a make-believe barn in a church auditorium. It was a real barn with real animals. And there was the stench and the filth of that. There was that smell of urine mingled mud. It's not really the place that a young mother envisions her firstborn being given birth right there. It's not the way she would have planned it. Certainly isn't the way she thought it would work out. It was dirty. It smelled awful. There was a noise in the street that just was a constant bother because Bethlehem was a small village and there were many who could trace their lineage back to David, and that's why there was no room for them in an inn or anywhere else. Shoved to the side, a young teenage girl away from home, giving birth to her first child, and there was all the pain that comes with a normal birth. Not antiseptic. Not the way we picture it in the Christmas program at church. A woman's body was torn, and there was pain. But in the midst of that, along with the pain, there was also that joy, that strange mixture that I think really only a mother understands of the pain and that moment where you think, what in the world am I doing and why did I let this happen? And I'll never do it again until you see for the first time the face of that baby you've loved for 9 months and you say, I'd do it again. In a heartbeat. All of that is part of the story. And we're just so familiar with it, it doesn't seem to affect us. We say, yeah, that's about when God became man, as if that were a common thing. Not a common thing at all when the artist steps into his painting and becomes a part of it. It's not common at all that the Creator would step into His creation to become a part of that creation. See, there's that part of us that we really are proud of ourselves and we say, what a wonderful thing that God wanted to be like us. You know what the amazing thing is? C.S. Lewis was trying to describe what the incarnation of God must be like. What it must have been like to leave the glory and the splendor and the wonder of heaven to come to earth. And he described it this way. He said, it would be somewhat on the par of our becoming a slug. I'm sure there's beauty in slugdom. I'm sure that slugs say, we've got a pretty good life. And it's a wonderful existence. But it's nothing compared to the life we know. Why would we long to become that? And yet God was willing to leave the glory, the splendor, the worship, the obedience of heaven to come in a world that is fallen and broken and filthy, to redeem for himself a people who don't even want to be redeemed, to love a people who don't love back. That's what Christmas is about. See, I'm too familiar with it. I tend to, what do we do this year? I'll let you in on a little secret. This is what goes on in the preacher world. What am I going to do this year for Christmas? How many ways can you tell that same story? I'm not proud to admit that. I'm saying I'm too familiar with the story that it somehow loses its wonder. That God so loved the world that He came to redeem a people for His own glory. That's what this celebration is all about. Who is this child? Why do we sing these songs? Why do we gather on Christmas Eve for a worship service? Some say He was just a good teacher. But good teachers don't claim to be God. Some say He was merely a good example. But good examples don't mingle with prostitutes and sinners. Some say He was a madman, but madmen don't speak the way He spoke. Some say He was a crazed fanatic. But crazed fanatics don't draw children to themselves or attract men of intellect like Paul or Luke to be their followers. Some say He was a religious phony. But phonies don't rise from the dead. Some say He was only a phantom. But phantoms can't give their flesh and blood to be crucified. Some say He was only a myth. But myths don't set the calendar of history. Jesus has been called the ideal man, an example of love, the highest model of religion, the foremost pattern of virtue, the greatest of all men, the finest teacher who ever lived. And all of those descriptions capture elements of His character. But they all fall short of the full truth. The Apostle Thomas expressed it perfectly when he saw Jesus after the resurrection and he exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for the glory and the wonder of this season. I thank You for that story that, though familiar, never really grows old. And Lord, I pray that You would forgive me for the times that I have allowed it to be routine in my thinking. For the times when I went through the motions and I sang the songs and I said the words and it did not move my heart, it did not move my will. Lord, forgive us for those times that we have treated this story with contempt. Not an open contempt, but just the attitude that says, "Yeah, I know that one. Let's move on." When the truth of the matter is, once we understand who He is, and once we understand why He came, there is no greater story. There is no more amazing truth. And there's nothing that should draw our worship and our adoration and our wonder more than the glory of a God who so loves sinful, fallen folks like us that He is willing to leave the glory and splendor of heaven to become man, to give His life as ransom, as payment for our rebellion, and then grant to us life eternal and life abundant. Father, I thank You for time together tonight with family. Lord, I'm grateful for this opportunity for us together as Your family in celebration of the birth of our Lord and Master. We give You the praise, the glory, and the honor that is due Your name. And may we depart this place tonight determined to live the truth of the gospel with all the wonder and the glory and the passion it deserves. In the blessed, holy, wonderful, precious name of Jesus, the Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Shall we stand, please?
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly sleep, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, weary beams from Thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, on the Thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at Thy birth. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lost Your light, with the angels let us sing, Alleluia to the King, Christ our Savior is born.
God bless you all. Merry Christmas.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.